Please turn your Bibles this morning to Romans chapter 2. We'll start with verse 1, Romans 2, starting with verse 1. Have you ever, in a quiet moment, thought to yourself, I'm a good person? Anybody? Nobody wants to? Somebody? Yes, thank you, Jim. I can always count on Jim to be with me in this. You know, like, maybe you're getting ready, and you're thinking about all the stuff that's going on in your life and all the problems that you have and troubles that you're facing, and you catch yourself in the mirror, and you think, not too bad. I'm doing okay. Or maybe as you're watching television in the evening and the news comes on and you see something horrible that's happened in the community or in the nation or around the world and you think, I'm not perfect, but at least I'm not that. I got my own problems, but hey, I'm doing pretty good for myself. I'm doing all right. See, we as human beings have a problem of self-righteousness. We downplay the bad stuff that's happening in our hearts. We like to imagine that we're better than we actually are, that we're doing okay. Very often when we deal with other people's faults, we're very critical of them. And we think, why would they do that? Why would they say that thing to me? Why wouldn't they show up on time? Why would they fail to do what they said they would do? What a horrible, disrespectful thing. They must be bad people. But then, when we do something wrong, when we don't fulfill our word, when we don't do what we said we were going to do, when we say something hurtful, or when we lash out in anger, we think, you know, I'm really not a bad person. I've got a good reason for that. I was tired, and they hit me at the wrong time and said just the wrong thing, and I snapped at them, and you know, it really wasn't so bad what I did. Maybe they kind of deserved it. I think I'm okay there. I didn't do anything wrong, or if it wasn't as bad as what they do, at least. We have these conversations with ourselves where we try to justify ourselves because there's something in us that we recognize some version of right and wrong, and we want to be able to condemn what is wrong, but we want to be able to justify ourselves in our own eyes. We ignore our faults, but we don't ignore the faults of others. Well, today, we're going to be talking about God's just judgment. And we're in the middle of a section as we're going through this book of Romans. We're going verse by verse, chapter by chapter. And we're in the middle of a section where Paul describes the human predicament, the problem that we have, and that is the pervasiveness of evil in humanity, and the danger that comes from that, the problem that comes out of that. And last week, we looked at humanity's descent into godlessness and wickedness. We saw in through the section of chapter 1 that we read that humanity knew God. God had revealed himself to them, but ultimately they rejected God and said, I will do my own thing. And so the scripture says that God gave people over to their sinful desires. And so by the end of chapter 1, what we just read last week, we saw things like this, that human beings are full of every kind of wickedness, evil, greed, and depravity. They're full of envy, jealousy, murder, strife, hostility, deceit, malice. They gossip. They slander. They talk bad about other people. They hate God. They're insolent. They're violent. They're arrogant. They're boastful. They're proud. He says they invent ways of doing evil. They disobey their parents. They don't have any sense. There's no understanding. They're not faithful. They're untrue. They're not loyal. It says they don't have any love. There's no affection for one another. And they don't show mercy. And he goes on and says that they have some kind of understanding of that. They know God's righteous decree that those who do such things, that list of things, deserve death. But they not only continue to do these things, but also they approve of those who practice them. Now, I read that list. And before I came to Christ, even when I was a little kid, I would have said, no, I don't do the things on that list. No, I'm a good person. See, that was my thing when I was little, because I came to Christ when I was like in elementary school, like first or second grade or something. I don't remember the time, but I do remember trying to be a good person when I was a little kid. And my parents were good, and they disciplined me appropriately. And when I did things I shouldn't do, I was corrected, and I tried really hard to be a good kid. But was that enough? Was that all I needed? I would have said, I'm not on that list. Even as a little kid, I said, that's not me. I'm better than that. And if you're saying this morning, well, I'm a good person. I don't do those things. I don't do them, and nor do I approve of them. Well, this next section is for us. Let's read chapter 2, verse 1. It says this. You, therefore, have no excuse, you who pass judgment on someone else. For at whatever point you judge another, you are condemning yourself, because you who pass judgment do the same things. Now we know that God's judgment against those who do such things is based on truth. So when you, a mere human being, pass judgment on them and yet do the same things, do you think you will escape God's judgment? Or do you show contempt for the riches of his kindness, forbearance, and patience, not realizing that God's kindness is intended to lead you to repentance? But because of your stubbornness and your unrepentant heart, you are storing up wrath for yourself for the day of God's wrath, when his righteous judgment will be revealed. God will repay each person according to what they have done. To those who by persistence in doing good seek glory, honor, and immortality, he will give eternal life. But for those who are self-seeking and who reject the truth and follow evil, there will be wrath and anger. There will be trouble and distress for every human being who does evil, first for the Jew, then for the Gentile. But glory, honor, and peace for everyone who does good, first for the Jew, then for the Gentile. For God does not show favoritism. All who sin apart from the law will also perish apart from the law. And all who sin under the law will be judged by the law. For it is not those who hear the law who are righteous in God's sight, but it is those who obey the law who will be declared righteous. Indeed, when Gentiles who do not have the law do by nature things required by the law, they are a law for themselves, even though they do not have the law. They show that the requirements of the law are written on their hearts, their consciences also bearing witness, and their thoughts sometimes accusing them, and at other times even defending them. This will take place on the day when God judges people's secrets through Jesus Christ, as my gospel declares. Okay, so hang with me as we work through these next several sections over the next several weeks. Because, again, he's trying to get to the point that all of humanity has a problem, and that is a problem with evil and sin, all right? So we're going to get to the good news of the gospel coming up in later in chapter 3 and chapter 4, but first he's kind of laying out the struggles that we have, right? So now, he had just said in chapter 1 that there's this slide into depravity, into sin, and that people do these things and approve. And then he anticipates this objection. No, wait, wait, I don't approve of those things. And so now he's going to talk about human judgment and the problem with human judgment and the people who are trying to be good people and live moral lives. And he's going to say, that's not quite enough. That's not going to cut it. And so here we have this problem of human judgment. And he says this, you, and he addresses people who pass judgment on other people. He says, you who pass judgment on someone else, you have no excuse. For at whatever point you judge one another, you're condemning yourselves because you who pass judgment do the same things. So Jesus, he talked about passing judgment on others. And he said so often that we look at the speck in someone else's eye and we ignore the log that's in our own eye. That we look at other people's faults and we condemn them. And here Paul is saying, if you think you are good because you condemn wrongdoing in others, you've got a problem. You end up doing the very things that you are condemning. If you're passing judgment on other people, well, that's going to be turned and pointed at you. And so condemning evil does not excuse your own unrighteousness, your acts of wrongdoing. We are very quick to look at people and say, nope, I won't do that. You're bad. That's a wrong thing. But if they're guilty and deserve punishment, then we're guilty and deserve punishment because we end up with the same attitudes, the same behaviors. We fall short. And he says here, now we know that God's judgment against those who do such things, what things? The things on that long list that we read a few minutes ago, all those sins, evil, malice, wickedness, envy, murder, strife, deceit, slander, gossip, disobeying parents, inventing ways of doing evil, all those such things, God's judgment is based on truth. See, God's judgment is not based on what we think about a situation. God's judgment is not based on how we feel about something. Very often, you'll hear people say, maybe I shouldn't have done that, but God knows my heart. And they appeal to like their good motives when their good actions don't follow. Their actions are bad, but hey, I had good intentions. Well, our intentions don't necessarily matter. What matters is how we actually live, what we actually do, and how we feel about those things, what we imagine ourselves to be, the picture of ourselves as a good person that we have in our head. That's not how God judges. God judges based on truth, based on reality, what has actually happened, what I've actually done. So he says, if you're passing judgment and doing those things that you pass judgment on, do you think you're going to escape God's judgment or God's justice? And the answer, of course, is no. Yet, God has kindness and forbearance and patience in the midst of our sin, in the midst of our wrongdoing. He says, or do you show contempt for the riches of his kindness, forbearance, and patience, not realizing that God's kindness is intended to lead you to repentance. In other words, God is just in judging sin. That when we do wrong things, there are consequences. There is punishment. And human beings throughout all of humanity have recognized the need for justice. That there is a reward for good and a punishment for evil. And as a society, we develop legal systems and judicial systems where we determine the right or wrongness of actions, and certain crimes have certain penalties where that person is put in prison. They're no longer allowed to be out in society where they can hurt other people. Certain things deserve punishment. And yet, God, he's just. And when we sin, we deserve punishment, but we don't always get that punishment immediately. God doesn't always say, all right, you sinned, here, I'm bringing the hammer down. But rather, he tolerates that. He shows his generosity in having forbearance, tolerance of this sin, and patience in bringing this punishment for a time. And the purpose of that is that we would have opportunity for repentance. So when I sin, I immediately deserve justice. I immediately deserve punishment. But God doesn't deal out that punishment immediately. He is patient, and he gives me a chance to turn to him, to reject my sin, to repent and turn and follow him. But Paul says people have a problem, that they fail to take advantage of that opportunity. And in so doing, he says they are storing up wrath against themselves. He says, because of your stubbornness, the hardness of your heart, your unrepentance, you are treasuring up. This word is the word that we read in the Gospels where Jesus says, you store up for yourselves treasures in heaven. What Paul is saying here is if we're unrepentant, we're storing up wrath for ourselves for the day when God comes to judge the world. He is coming with righteous judgment. He will issue a just and fair verdict, and that righteousness will be revealed, and we will be objects of wrath, recipients of wrath, if we fail to repent. So you can recognize evil all you want. You can condemn evil in other people all you want, but if you don't repent of the evil that's in your heart, it does you no good. In this next section, he describes how God's justice is impartial. Here's what he says. God will repay each person according to what they have done. To those who by persistence in doing good seek glory, honor, and immortality, he will give eternal life. But for those who are self-seeking and who reject the truth and follow evil, there will be wrath and anger. There will be trouble and distress for every human being who does evil, first for the Jew, then for the Gentile. But glory, honor, and peace for everyone who does good, first for the Jew, then for the Gentile. For God does not show favoritism. So this section is laying out how God's judgment is just, and he doesn't show any favoritism. And he begins by quoting a proverb. God will repay each person according to what they have done. In other words, our actions have consequences, and we will reap what we sow. And he's quoting from Proverbs 24, verse 12. There are several other proverbs in this chapter that speak to the importance of justice on the earth. And it describes what God is looking for in terms of justice among mankind, because it reflects who he is and his good nature. And so in Proverbs 24, verse 23, we read this: to show partiality in judgment is not good. We can recognize that. Man, I got a household full of kids who really care about justice, all right? I have to deal out punishments, and sometimes that's like you don't have screen time today, or maybe it's some sort of physical discipline or whatever, but I very often get reminded, well, when you punished the other one, you treated them differently than you treated me. Why did they get to do this, or why did they get out of their grounding, or why did they do this or that? How come I don't get to, you know? And sometimes I'm just a human being, and I'm doing the best that I can. I'm just going to be like, that's because I like them more than you. But that's not true. That's not true. But in my attempts to be fair, maybe I fail sometimes, right? And they're very quick to point out when they think I'm not fair. But see, when it comes to God, none of us are going to be able to say that's not fair and have a true claim. That's not how God operates. It says in Proverbs that whoever says to the guilty, "You are innocent," will be cursed by peoples and denounced by nations. So if we're looking at people who've done horrible things and you say, "Hey, you're A-OK," the people rise up against that. We see that in our nation, right? When there are injustices, when there are wrong things that are done, there is something built into us. We'll talk about this in a minute, where God has built into us a recognition of right and wrong and a deep desire for justice. And when justice is not done, man, we have problems with that. We don't like that. But he says, "But it will go well with those who convict the guilty, and rich blessing will come on them," right? So God is looking for people to exact justice, to punish the guilty, and to free the innocent. See, God will reward good and punish evil. That's in his good nature. And so it says, "To those who by persistence in doing good," and I believe here we're just talking about a general principle of how God acts in his justice. All right, so those who persist in doing good, they seek glory, honor, and immortality, and he will give them eternal life. But for those who are self-seeking, those who reject the truth, who have selfish ambition, they're looking out for themselves and not for others, who disobey God's truth and follow unrighteousness, the word there is unrighteousness, there will be wrath and anger. So there's this general principle that God rewards good and punishes evil. He says there's going to be trouble and distress, pain, affliction for every human being who works evil works, all right, who does evil things. That's first for the Jew and then for the Gentile. Remember, as we laid out at the beginning of the book of Romans, one of the concerns here is the relationship between Jewish Christians and Gentile Christians in Rome. So Paul's coming back to that. And he's going to talk about how the Jews have had a privileged place in the history of the world and the history of God because God chose the Jews to bring Jesus, the Messiah, into the world through them. And so while they might have some privilege in some regard, they're also first in judgment, first for the Jew, then for the Gentile. But God will give glory, honor, and peace for everyone who works what is good, first for the Jew and then for the Gentile, for God does not show partiality. There is no favoritism with him. He is not a respecter of persons. He doesn't look at you and say, "Well, I like you and I dislike you and I'm going to treat you better." Nope. Everyone will get what they deserve. And then Paul's going to go on and describe what it is that we deserve here in the next few sections. So God's justice is impartial. So how do we, as human beings, have a right standing with him? Well, Paul says, those who sin will face judgment. And we use the word sin. I want to make sure we have a good understanding of what this word is. All of you church people have been around the word sin. You know what sin is, the bad stuff that you shouldn't do, right? In the original language, it originally carried this idea of making a mistake or erring. A good picture of this would be like if you were out target shooting. Anybody shoot guns or bows and arrows or anything like that? Okay, we got somebody, all right. Well, if you were trying to hit a particular target and you miss, you're aiming at something and you have not hit the target, you have missed the mark. That is the picture of this word sin here. But in the Bible, it's not just a mistake that you just happen to make by accident. Rather, it's an intentional, like, voluntary, I choose not to do what I'm supposed to do. So we have this target of God's righteousness, the good things that we ought to do. love one another, care for others, serve, sacrifice, not curse people, those types of things, the good things that we ought to do, and we miss that target, and that's a description of what sin is. It's this lack of doing the right thing, not doing what is good. And so those who sin will face judgment. If they don't have the law, Paul says, that they will perish apart from the law. Now we have to ask what the law is. What is he talking about here? In this section, remember, we're discussing the relationships of Jews and Gentiles and how God has revealed himself in the world through the scriptures. And God came to the Jewish people, to Israel, and he revealed himself in Moses, and he laid down his instructions for how the Israelites were supposed to live in the world and worship him. You will be familiar with the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt have no other god before me. Shall make no graven image. Honor and father and mother. Remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not lie. Don't covet. Those things. The law that God had given his people Israel as instructions of how they might live. Wisdom for life. And to break those is to sin or to miss the mark. And yet, there are people, the Gentiles, they're not Jewish, they don't have the law. Well, if they do wrong things apart from the law, without the law, well, we don't need the law to condemn those wrong things. And then he says, all who sin under the law, speaking of the Jews, will be judged by the law. So God gave them specific revelation, don't do these things, and they do them and they'll be judged. And then he says this in verse 13. It is not those who hear the law who are righteous in God's sight, but it is those who obey the law who will be declared righteous. It's not enough to even come to the Bible and read God's word and see what he has instructed us to do and how he has told us to live. It's not enough to listen to some preacher or someone on the internet, on YouTube or TikTok or whatever, and hear about the good things of God. Hearing won't get you there. It is those who obey the law, who do what is right, that will be declared righteous or put in right standing with God. And then he describes how even like the Gentiles understand this. They don't have the law, but they still recognize right and wrong. Verse 14, indeed, when Gentiles who do not have the law do by nature things required by the law, they are a law for themselves, even though they do not have the law. So there's this people that don't have the revelation of God's word, and yet they can still recognize that there are good things they ought to do. And they become a law for themselves. They become a standard for themselves of recognizing right and wrong. And it says that they show that the requirements of the law are written on their hearts. That God, in creating us in his image, has impressed upon humanity an understanding of righteousness and evil, good and bad. And even apart from God, we can still try to be good people and do the right thing. And he says their conscience, they bear witness to them. God has given us a conscience. Now, very often, our consciences aren't always right. They can be broken, they can be seared, they can be damaged. But in general, people have a sense of right and wrong. And it says their thoughts sometimes accuse them and other times defend them. And so just natural man in himself has some comprehension of that is right and that is wrong. And there are some things that we do as people that we realize that was a good thing. And there are other things that we do as people, even apart from God, that we realize, hey, that was a bad thing. That there is the grace of God, the common grace of God at work in humanity in a way that helps us to identify what is right and wrong. Again, sometimes that's skewed, sometimes that's off, but it's still functioning at some level. So here's the problem with that. God is a just judge, and there is going to be a day when God judges people's secrets through Jesus Christ. And Paul says his gospel declares that. It's an important element of the good news. He is laying out to them the meaning of the gospel. And he's introduced it as the good news about Jesus. And if the gospel is good news, why is it good news? And if we're to understand what this good news is about, we have to understand the bad news first. And the bad news is we have a problem. As humanity, we are sinners. And so in chapter 1, he says, there's this awful slide, fall into sinfulness. But there are some people who are hanging on to the hope that, hey, those people are evil, but I'm a good person. I'm not doing so bad. And now he's looking at that person that would claim, I'm okay, I'm a good person, and he's saying, is that really going to work in the end? Because let me tell you, God is a just judge and he's impartial. And he's not just going to look at you and go, okay, you're okay because you think you're a good person. No, he confronts us with our sin. And as human beings, we may recognize God's righteous standards and condemn evil. But we still fail to live up to those standards. You may be appalled at certain sins that you see. You may be disgusted, dismayed. How could that be? How could people do that? But even if I have those feelings, there are still things within me that are not right and that are not good. And God's not just going to punish the really bad people and let me go because I'm not so bad in my own mind. He's impartial and he rewards good and he punishes evil. And if there's evil in me, then I deserve wrath. That's what I'm storing up for myself. See, on our own, we cannot escape the judgment for the evil that we ourselves have done, that we commit. But God, in his grace, in his kindness, in his forbearance, is delaying his judgment, is delaying his punishment, so that we would have opportunity for repentance. And the question is, are we going to take advantage of that opportunity while we have a chance? Our God is calling us to himself and saying, I will establish righteousness on the earth. You know, very often we see evil things around the world and we think, why won't God put a stop to this evil? Do you know what that would mean? If God were to put a stop to all evil on earth, you're not here. I'm not here. We're all gone, right? But God is patient because he wants us to come and call on him and find his goodness. And if we have his goodness and his spirit is at work in us, then we are able to live a life that is pleasing to him. Not because we have the ability in ourselves, but he has given that through his spirit so that we could do what is good and right, fulfilling the requirements of the law that is written on our hearts through his spirit so that he can offer us eternal life. God's judgment is just. And us simply saying, hey, I'm trying to be a good person is not going to be an excuse. We need his mercy. We need his forgiveness so that we could have an opportunity to have life with him forever in his kingdom. Would you pray with me this morning? God, I want to thank you that we have had time to study your word today. And God, I pray that you would speak to us where we are. God, very often I try to justify myself. I like to think that I am better than I actually am. But God, you love me enough to confront me and the evil that's in my life, the sin that's in my life. Because it's your desire to show me mercy. That through Jesus Christ, I would have forgiveness. That I would be released from the consequences of sin and death and judgment. And that I could have mercy and kindness through the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross. And Lord, I pray this morning that you would help me to draw near to you, to come, to not have any illusions of what I am on my own, but God, to confess my wrongdoing before you and to rely on your kindness and mercy, that you would fill my life with your love, with your glory, with honor, with immortality, as you work your life in us. Lord, we ask that you would show us your love this morning and your forgiveness as we reject sin and turn to you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.